Kevin and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Last week, I was in Florida visiting my grandmother. It was always great to see her. I'm going to need to go back more often than just, you know, once a year and go check in. But it was great to have some time off and not worry about what topics to make, what to say this, what to do there. But as is normally the case, there is something that happens while I'm gone that I, as somebody that's always on their phone on Twitter and sees things, it's like, ah, I want to talk about this. And so I have the opportunity to talk about something that I saw last week that blew my freaking mind. I think it's one of the stupidest things I have ever heard, ever. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network insider, went on the Rich Eisen show, and Rich Eisen was talking to him about Trevor Lawrence's contract, and they talked about, I mean, all the money these players are making today. My dad, when Justin Herbert signed for $52 million last year, was like, I mean, they shouldn't pay the players this much money. I'm like, so what, you want to give it back to the owner? Like, I mean, if the players don't get the money, the owner gets the money. It's not like, well, we're going to give the player the money, so instead we're going to give it to charity. Like, that's not how it works. But, again, Trevor Lawrence signs for a massive amount of money. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And so Rich Eisen asked Tom Pelissero about that. Tom Pelissero said this, and it blew up on the internet last week.
There certainly has been discussion within the league, Rich, among certain owners about even the idea of a quarterback cap. That at some point you want quarterback numbers to not go over a certain percentage of your salary cap. To my knowledge, that really hasn't gained traction, in part because so many teams have paid their quarterbacks. And if you went to suddenly an NBA model where all of a sudden you have the max and the super max, and there's really only a couple levels that guys can get paid at, it kind of changes the dynamics in terms of how you set yourself up salary cap wise and whatnot. So absolutely, there's been a discussion about exactly what you're talking about, which is, how are we paying this much money to this position and to certain guys just because they're the next one up?
Okay. The QB cap. The second cap. Some of these owners, look at these quarterback contracts, 50 and 60 million. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa, that's too much money. We can't pay the quarterbacks this much money. Yes, you can. And you want to know why you're paying the quarterbacks this kind of money? Because every opportunity that you get to put a game on Netflix on Wednesday night, you make $75 million, and it's money that's got to go to the players. But this idea of a second cap, which I put in quotation marks, is truly one of the dumbest things I have ever heard. Number one, the cap is fake. We'll get more on that in a second. So, we already have a fake cap now that a team can spend $350 million on a $250 million cap. So we're going to create a second cap to go with our first cap that's not even real? And if you go with the first cap that's not real, surely the second cap would be as fake, right? But this one is for the quarterbacks. So if the salary cap is $250 million, what would that break down if we were to have a second QB cap? So it'd be $200 million on one hand and $60 million for quarterbacks. So what does that mean for a team like the Titans? The Titans are paying their quarterback over 4 years, $9 million. But they wouldn't be able to get L'Jarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie and Tony Pollard and Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd and Kenneth Murray and Lloyd Cushenberry, right? Because they wouldn't be saving on the $9 million quarterback contract because that's a separate cap than the other cap. So I'm paying my quarterback $9 million over 4 years. Jacksonville's paying their quarterback $55 million a year. But outside of those two positions, we have to operate under the same cap? What? That does not make any sense. That's the first reason. The number two reason this is so stupid is because capping the QB salaries, and when I say capping, I actually mean, you know, capping. like saying, nope, you can't spend any more, which is not what the NFL salary cap does. But for this argument, let's say we're capping, you know, the QB salaries. Why would C.J. Stroud, for instance, be okay with that? C.J. Stroud just saw Trevor Lawrence sign for $55 million a year. Ian, who would you rather have, C.J. Stroud or Trevor Lawrence?
I mean, it's only been a year, but I guess I'll go Stroud.
Okay, I think most people would as well. Well, Tua's going to sign a contract. I wouldn't sign him, but they will. Dak Prescott's going to sign a contract before Stroud's eligible to sign a contract because he'll either sign with the Cowboys or he'll hit the market and he'll sign for even more money. And Dak's going to get into the $60 million a year range, which, ugh. But again, that's your business, not mine. Brock Purdy's going to get a contract before C.J. Stroud does. And then 2 years from now, C.J. Stroud will be up. By then, C.J. Stroud's probably looking at $300 million and $66 million a year. Especially if they keep adding Netflix and Peacock games. Why would C.J. Stroud ever be okay with that? And then what about the other players at the other positions? Look at the 49ers. The 49ers are paying Bosa and Warner and Samuel and Kittle and Williams and McCaffrey. They're paying all these players because they pay their quarterback $975,000 a year. But under the new QB cap, the 49ers would be able to look at Brandon Ayuk and say, sorry, Brandon Ayuk, we can't pay you because we're paying all these other guys. Forget about the fact that we're paying our quarterback less than $1 million. That's a different cap. Why would they be okay with that? Why would these players sit there and say, oh, okay. Yeah, hey, I'll sign up for two caps so that the quarterbacks can get more money. The Titans are going to have to pay a backup quarterback $50 million with Levis's contract in order to get up to the cap. And it's going to have no effect on the rest of the roster. Why would the players, why would L'Jarius Sneed want that? It doesn't make any sense. And then third, another reason that this is the stupidest thing, this idea of a second QB cap, and this is the real kicker here, the union is never going to go for that for the reasons I just laid out with number two. The union is never going to agree to a second cap. They will not play football before that happens. Like, there are certain things in these negotiations that are just not, they're just no-nos. For instance, in baseball, if the owners go to the players and demand a salary cap, we're not going to play baseball. That's just how it works. So they have to come up with every furcocked way in order to not say salary cap, but to actually tamp down the salaries in Major League Baseball. The luxury tax in Major League Baseball, you know, that is a real issue. Because in the NFL, you do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Again, cap's fake. In baseball, they dock you draft picks. Now, imagine if the Titans are picking 38th, but if they spent too much money, they got kicked down to 58th. That would matter. But again, the idea of a quote-unquote salary cap in baseball is an absolute no-no, and so they don't even go there. This would be a no-no with the players. Just like the franchise tag, which is designed to keep players like Joe Burrow stuck in Cincinnati, the franchise tag, because of what's happened in the NBA, the franchise tag is never, ever, ever, ever going to be dealt with as far as the players hate the franchise tag. And they're never, ever, ever, ever going to get rid of it. It's never going to happen. I mean, it's a reality. And so when I hear this, when I hear Tom Pelissero throw out this idea of a second cap, and then because Tom Pelissero is a pretty reputable dude, and he's with the League Network, and it's July where there's not a lot of football news because the players are away, it blows up and everyone's like, oh my God, what about this second? And I'm like, hold on, this is so stupid. This is never going to happen. It's not feasible. And so last week I could not believe myself when I saw that. I'm like, and I look at Pelissero, and again, this is not about him. But it's almost like, dude, don't you know better than that? Like when one owner says to you, you know, we need a second cap for quarterback contracts, I'd look at the owner and I'd say, if I was Paul Sarah, I'd be like, the union's never going to go for that. Like, you can talk about it all you want, but that's never going to happen. But, oh well. 615-737-1025. So I think this is a good opportunity to do something that I think a lot of you want to know. In fact, there is a Reddit post with like 200 comments to it or whatever that says, Jared Stillman says the cap is fake. What does he mean by that? So now I'm going to explain this. This is going to be, I think we've got time to do it. This is going to be the explanation of what, of how the salary cap is fake. If you think that you are so certain that the NFL salary cap is real, and that when a team tells you, we can't pay our players because of the cap, and you say, oh, it's the cap, it's not my cheap owner. If you think that's the case, go ahead and change the channel. But I'm going to explain it, and I guarantee you, well, I guarantee, I feel pretty certain a lot of you are smart enough to understand this. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
There's a cap, but there's also cash flow. So I can sign a player, let's say, to a $4 million contract for his base salary, and I'm going to give him a $4 million signing bonus. How the cap works is I can prorate that out, so it's $2 million a year for over those 4 years. But from a cash standpoint, I'm giving him $4 million to sign the contract and $1 million in the first year. So that's $5 million cash out the door, even though it only counted $2 million against the cap. So there's cap accounting and then there's cash accounting. And so the owner don't care about the cap. That's what you have a cap guy to do. It's the cash going out the door.
There you go. That was Rick Spielman, former NFL general manager on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And he's telling you straight up, he's like, the owner doesn't care about the cap. Because the cap, you know, the owner cares about the cash. And so I have said many times, whenever we have a discussion about, you know, why should they be able to get this guy or this team should add this guy or whatever, and they're like, well, Jared, you can't do it because of the cap. Cap's fake. Don't ever let somebody tell you that you can't do something because of the NFL salary cap. If you want to tell me you can't do it because of the NHL's cap, that's a different discussion, though the Vegas Golden Knights are starting to kind of finagle with that. But there is even a Reddit thread. It was apparently, I went back during the break to look at this. It was posted 92 days ago. Can someone explain why Jared Stillman thinks the salary cap is fake? Jared Stillman is constantly saying the cap is fake and offering anecdotal evidence about certain teams are always way over and then manage to make it work. It seems like another one of his hot takes, but I'd still like to understand his argument. Well, now we have the opportunity to do this because of that stupid Tom Pelissero second QB cap, and we've got some time on our hands. So let's talk about it. The NFL salary cap exists for the purpose of capping salaries, right? That's what we would all think. I mean, that's what a cap is.
To even the playing field.
Yes, that's what a cap is. Owners want caps. Why? Because they don't want to spend a gazillion dollars. So the cap in the NFL right now is around $250 million. As of Monday, 22 teams are spending more money than that this season. 22 of 32 are spending more money than the cap. It's not really doing a good job of capping things, is it? Philadelphia is spending $345 million. Again, this is a $250 million cap. And they're spending $345 million. The Bears are spending $259 million. That's a big difference, right? $345, $259. 10 teams are spending, quote-unquote, under that cap, including Dallas, who's only spending $219 million this year on their team. Now, if they ever get off their asses and sign Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and Parsons, they'll be spending more money. But right now, they're spending $219 million. So the Philadelphia Eagles are spending $126 million more on their football team than the Dallas Cowboys. Ian, what did you say the purpose of this cap is?
Well, I think originally it was to kind of even the playing field so everybody kind of pays the same amount of money for their players and their team.
Does $126 million sound like an even playing field?
I don't guess so.
But see, this is why the fake cap exists. The Philadelphia Eagles want to win. They want to have a great team. They want to win. So we want to pay A.J. Brown, and we want to pay Devontae Smith, and we want to pay a running back, Saquon Barkley, and we want to pay Jalen Hurts $50 million, and we want to pay our offensive line. And yeah. The fake cap exists so an angry Dallas Cowboy fan that watches their team do nothing in free agency as Tony Pollard goes to the Titans or Tyler Biadasz goes to the Commanders can be told by their owner, we can't give you Derrick Henry because of the cap. Do not blame us. Do not blame the fact that we're cheap and we just don't want to spend the money. Blame the cap. In fact, that's exactly what Stephen Jones did when he went on Shine on Sports with Adam Shine on Sirius XM after Derrick Henry signed with the Ravens and was asked, why didn't you sign Derrick Henry?
Nothing but respect for Derrick Henry. I mean, he's one of the top backs in this league. He's had one of the great careers in this league. I wish him nothing but the best with the Ravens. I'm sure a great place for him. Our situation is just, you know, and no one ever wants to say it, but it's salary cap. And we just didn't, you know, have the money to allocate to that position.
Oh, nobody wants to say it, but it's the cap. We can't afford them. Now, they paid Zeke a ton of money before that. They paid Tony Pollard $10-plus million last year. Derek got $9 million from the Ravens. Derek has made a note. He wanted to be a Cowboy. But we couldn't do it because of the cap as they spend $219 million. Meanwhile, the Eagles pay their quarterback in the 50s. They pay one receiver, A.J., in the 30s. They pay Devontae in the 20s. Two tackles. They're paying their left tackle, Maialata, their right tackle, Lane Johnson. They've got a defense, and they go out this offseason and sign Saquon Barkley and Bryce Huff. By the way, I looked it up today. A.J. Brown's cap number, remember, he signed that massive contract for $32 million a year. A.J.'s cap number is $11 million this season. A.J. Brown has been paid $55.8 million by the Eagles. And guess how much money he has counted against the Eagles' cap over the last three seasons. 13.9. Why? Because in the NFL, you can redo any contract whenever you want, make it a signing bonus, add void years to the deal, spread it out over five, and then next year, do the same thing again. Some people call this cash over cap, which means that if you're willing to spend the cash, you can go over the cap. I just call it what it is. It's fake. It doesn't matter. It doesn't stop teams from signing players. What stops teams from signing players are budgets. When an owner goes to his general manager, just like Rick Spielman said, when he said the owner don't care about the cap, the owner goes to the general manager and says, hey, you've got $250 million to spend. You've got $360 million to spend. You've got whatever. And then the general manager acts accordingly. Well, we've only got $20 million towards our budget until we hit it, so we can't sign that $30 million player. By the way, guess what? Every other business does that too. If you work for a business, I'm sure your manager has a budget. Every year they sit down and they map out the budget. Again, nobody in the NFL, and I'm talking about in the NFL, the general managers, the owners, nobody in the NFL makes a decision because of the cap. They just tell you that they do because they don't want you to be mad at them. And then for whatever reason, the media constantly obliges. Adam Schefter, well, they're trying to work out the cap. Tom Pelissero, well, they're trying to fit this in the cap. Ian Rappaport, the cap. It's so disingenuous. I saw Ian Rappaport had a tweet last week. You talk about disingenuous. I mean, it was it almost made me throw up. Here, let me pull it up because I sent it to an agent because I saw it and I was like, you got to be kidding me. Ladd McConkey signed his contract, and you know how all these deals are slotted in the draft?
Like, sure.
You know how much money the guy's going to make? The Chargers and Ladd McConkey reached a four-year deal today with the most guaranteed money in NFL history for the 34th pick. Well, no duh, it's the most money for the 34th pick because the money gets bigger every year. Next year's 34th pick will also sign for the most money in the history of the 34th pick. Rappaport continues in his tweet. It beat the QB premium for the same pick in 2023, which I don't think is true because Levis was the 33rd pick. And again, McConkey was 34 because the 32nd pick, the Dolphins' first rounder, had been taken away for the tampering. But again, I guess Ian didn't do his homework there. It beat the QB premium for the same pick in 23, carrying the most guarantees, a pick below in the round. Ladd's agent, Chris Cabot, confirmed the deal. Ian Rappaport, let's shout out the agent. And let's, again, he's not lying when he says that it's the most money guaranteed in the history of the 34th pick. But that's because it gets bigger every year. But he's doing the agent a solid. And when the media sits there and tells you about the cap, they're doing the owners a solid. The owners want the fans. Dallas is the example. The owners want the fans to think, we can't have Derrick Henry because of the cap, just like Stephen Jones said. When Philadelphia is able to sign Saquon Barkley for more money than Derrick signed in Baltimore. The Cowboys, who are they paying at receiver? They haven't paid CeeDee Lamb yet. Who's Philadelphia paying at receiver? Oh, yeah. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. They're paying two tackles. They're paying a tight end. They just added a pass rusher. What don't the Eagles have? That's why they spend $100 million over the quote-unquote cap. And it doesn't matter. So don't ever listen to somebody when they tell you the cap. And when somebody says, what does Jared Stillman mean when he says the cap is fake? This is what I'm talking about. The idea that one team can spend almost $100 million over the cap and that a team in the exact same division is spending $126 million less on their team and is then saying, well, we couldn't do it because of the cap, is a lie. And that's what makes it fake. It doesn't cap any spending. It doesn't do anything except give the owners an excuse. 615-737-1025. I'm sure we got phones on it. We'll get to that. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Do you agree with me that the cap's fake?
Not fake. I think it can be really, really creative, and we were. Look.
But then it doesn't cap spending. And you were creative in Atlanta. And then Atlanta pursues Deshaun Watson, and so they trade Matt Ryan, and they say, oh, we had to trade Matt Ryan because of the cap. And I'm like, you can't go try to sign Deshaun Watson and say, oh, it was the money.
It was. When I look back on that, you know, of course, as a bystander now, I won't even get into it. But it's, yeah. No, I get it. There's an element. We never call it fake, of course. We just say.
That's because the owners want the cap to be real so they can tell the fans.
No question.
We couldn't keep him because of the cap.
Well, in Arthur Blank, I mean, one of the things that I really valued about him is he never asked me to have $40 million cap space. He said, you pay what you need to pay. And when we would have $10 or $15 million left, he would come knocking on my door. TD, let's bring us another free agent. What can we get? And I say that in a respectful way because we could be creative with what you're talking about.
It's a budget. It's a money thing, not a cap thing.
It's exactly right.
Thank you, Thomas Dimitroff, general manager on our show at the Super Bowl. You heard it right there when I was like, the owners want the cap so that they can say, oh, we couldn't sign. We suck because of the cap. No. And even I was like, no, it's money. That's what stops it. Yeah, Arthur Blank never came to me and said, how much cap space do we have? Because it doesn't matter. Rick Spielman said on SiriusXM, the owner don't care about the cap. But yet, it'll happen soon enough. Somebody will say, oh, we couldn't sign this guy because of the cap, Jared. That's why we're stuck with Aaron Brewer and Andre Dillard. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim has been waiting patiently and is up next here on the program. Thank you for calling. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Jared, I'm going to disagree with you about it being fake, and just hear me out. I'll try to keep it simple. It's just kind of like a business. If you buy a machine for $100 million, you write a check, that's out the door. But you only have to expense it, amortize it, allocate it $20 million each year over 5 years. So when you submit to the IRS, here's my P&L, you're only going to show an expense of $20 million. Same thing with football. With football players, they could get to a point where even when you allocate it over the future years, you will reach this cap, whatever the amount is. That's my point. Thank you.
So then why does nobody ever do that?
I don't know that they have. Some guys have kept it under. They have kept it under the limit.
There's never been a team that has not been able to move a contract that they've wanted to move. The Rams gave Jared Goff all that money, and they were able to move it and bring in Matthew Stafford. The Broncos gave that ridiculous contract to Russell Wilson, and they've been able to move it. And I keep hearing about these dead cap hits, Jared, and then it seems to never affect anybody. The money's real. Now, make no mistake about it. The money is real, and owners, like, I don't think Amy would allow the Titans to spend $345 million on her team because she don't have the money. But at the end of the day, it's not about the cap.
I'll disagree. And they can redo contracts, whole different story. Rip up the contract, do it for a different amount, or kick the can down the road further. But there is a legitimate cap, and if you were to follow the rules, there is a limit, and teams do stop.
So what? Okay, where is a team that stopped because of the cap?
I'll have to look that up and get back to you.
It doesn't exist. Jim, thank you for the call. It doesn't exist. The Philadelphia Eagles, again, the 49ers had a top four payroll, and they just gave Christian McCaffrey a new contract. It doesn't stop. The only thing that stops the spending is the money. And again, I don't know about that IRS stuff. That it would not surprise me. And I don't know about this. I'm not a CPA. I have never taken a finance class in my life. It would not surprise me if the tax code and the IRS is as furcocked as the salary cap in the NFL. It would not surprise me at all. But the caller just used that, and so did a texter. Used a term that people say, well, they can kick the can down the road, but eventually the can eventually it catches up with them. Does it? When has it caught up with the Rams? Remember the Rams? They spent all that money on all those players. When did the kicking the can down the road catch up to the Rams? Well, the Rams had a bad season 2 years ago, but the reason they had a bad season is because Matthew Stafford got hurt. Everybody uses the Saints as the example. Everybody says, well, the cap's real because the Saints kick the can down the road every single year, and that's why the Saints suck. Except that's not true. Because even though the Saints, quote-unquote, kick the can down the road, the Saints are still able to go out and sign free agents. The Saints are still able to go out and get Derek Carr and give him a $100 million contract. Now, is Derek Carr a good quarterback? That's a different discussion. But it's not the cap that's standing in the way of whether or not Derek Carr sucks. It's Derek Carr's ability. They paid Derek Carr on the market because, again, like Cousins in Atlanta, there's only so many quarterbacks to go around. So if you don't pay top dollar, you're not going to get the guy, even if he's average. So they paid Derek Carr. The problem is Derek Carr ain't that good. You know that it's a team that hasn't had a problem with the cap over the years? The Patriots. So since 2020, the Patriots and the Saints have both sucked. The Saints are the team that kicks the can down the road every year, including this year, by the way, where they started off the offseason with minus $80 million in salary cap space and now have $12 million in salary cap space. And they didn't cut their quarterback, and they didn't cut Alvin Kamara, and they didn't cut any of the great players they had on their team, did they? But the Saints have been terrible since 2020. Why? Is it because they've been kicking the can down the road? Or is it because Drew Brees retired and Drew Brees was really good? Oh, yeah. The Patriots have had tons of cap space, right? Remember, Tom Brady took less for the cap all those years. The Patriots suck too. You want to know why? Because they don't have Tom Brady anymore. The Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl in 2015. Peyton Manning retired. The Broncos have spent a gazillion dollars, and they haven't won anything. Was it because of the cap, or was it because Peyton retired? Again, you guys tell me that, no, eventually it catches up with you. When will it catch up with the Eagles? When will the Eagles not be able to give A.J. Brown $32 million a year? When will the Eagles not be able to pay Jalen Hurts $50-plus million a year? When will the Eagles not be able to go out and sign Saquon Barkley? Somebody tell me this. What's funny is when I first realized this, I used to believe in the salary cap. I swear to you, I really did. I'm embarrassed to say so. It's a reality that I don't want to admit. But at one point in time, I did believe in the NFL salary cap. And I used to do all the, you know, oh, well, the Titans have $13 million in space, and I want to sign so-and-so. Well, how do we make that work? Okay, well, if we give him a contract, and then we restructure LaJuan, and then we add this guy here, there's no point in doing this. Because you can do whatever you want. But once I grew smart to it, I kept saying for what it was. And all the old heads that have been brainwashed by the media, the local media people that have just hear the national media, like Adam Schefter, talk about the cap, they're like, no, that's not true, led by Joe. And so I started Googling, you know, salary cap, and there was like a Forbes article or a New York Times article, or I can't remember, but it was like, the NFL salary cap's going to catch up to these two teams, the Rams and the Eagles. And it never did. Remember the dead cap charge for Carson Wentz's contract? Oh, yeah, they were in the Super Bowl 2 years later because they were able to get A.J. Brown. I guess kicking the can down the road didn't hurt them that bad. They made the playoffs the year after they traded for Wentz. They made the Super Bowl the year after that. Did they have to get rid of Lane Johnson? Did they have to get rid of Jason Kelce? Did they have to get rid of good players? No. Now, what happens is this. Sometimes there will be a guy that's due $12 million. And the team looks at this player and says, he's not really worth $12 million. And again, we go back to the budget. The owner comes down and says, you've got $280 million in cash to spend this year. That's it. So we're sitting here with our cash budget, and we're at $274 million, and we're paying this guy $12 million, and we don't think he's very good, and his money's not guaranteed. We think he's more of a $6 million player now than he is a $12 million player, like Kevin Byard. We think he's more of a six. I think Byard was due $13 million, and he's making six now. We think he's more of a $6 million player. Well, I can get rid of that $12 million, and I've got $6 million right now to spend it towards my phony baloney cap. Now I just created an extra $18 million. Now I can go sign four more players. That's real. But that's an owner's budget, which is decided individually by the teams. Just like what Thomas Dimitroff said. I also laugh how that guy stayed on hold. We play that cut from a guy who was a GM for 15 years, and he's like, yeah, no, that's not true. One texter says, hey, Jared, you are right. It's never caught up because the cap is continually rising. If the cap were to ever stop rising, then these kick-the-can-down-the-road contracts would come due. But it doesn't, and it hasn't, and we keep seeing it happen in the future the way these sports leagues keep raking in the dough. The NBA has their viewership falling, and they doubled their money, which is unbelievable. One texter says, I mean this with all due respect, but listening to you talk about the cap is reminding me of a conspiracy theorist trying to convince all of his friends about different theories. Yeah, I get that. I understand that it sounds like that. And I know what, like, these QAnon people, like, I know how crazy that stuff sounds. Open your eyes! But how many times do you have to go watch another team go out there? When we're told, oh, the Buffalo Bills, they can't do anything. They're going to be strapped by the cap. There's nothing they can do. And they go out and sign a player. How many times do you have to see that before you realize that your team can sign players too? They just don't want to because they reach their cash budget. Texter says, a team can only kick the can so far down the road. The reason it's never happened is because the team can back off spending before it is evident. I agree you are right in the limited way you think about it. When do the Eagles have to stop spending? Somebody help me on the Eagles. When do the Eagles have to stop spending? And you can't say that the Jalen Hurts contract, when he was on a rookie deal the year they went to the Super Bowl, counts, because, again, they were paying all the quote-unquote dead money from Carson Wentz because they gave him a humongous signing bonus. Matthew says, the Pittsburgh Steelers don't suck. Their owner is just cheap as hell and only spends money on defense rather than the entire team. What would you say about a team like the Steelers that are always spending under the cap? They don't stink per se, but Art Rooney is cheap, and he and Tomlin only spend money on defense. Okay, so I don't know the specifics about the Steelers. They paid Ben a lot of money, right? They paid Antonio Brown a lot of money. They paid Le'Veon Bell a lot of money when they had good players. The problem with the Steelers is they really haven't had a lot of good players over the years, except T.J. Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick. And so the reason the Steelers are spending money is because the Steelers are drafting well or trading well in the case of Fitzpatrick. They're getting good players on defense. They're not getting good players on offense. The Steelers have never been a big spender in free agency. That has never been the Steelers' thing. That's just kind of who they are. One texter says, do bonuses count against the cap? Yes. But you can spread them out over the years and add void years, and you can do whatever you want. One texter says, the funny part about this is I actually believe your conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's reality. Again, Ian, get that Thomas Dimitroff cut for me one more time. This guy was a general manager in the NFL for 15 years and was the general manager of a team that had a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. If you got a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl, there's nothing the GM can do at that point to stop you from pooping your pants. At that point, he's done his job. Just like how, have you seen Kenny Hollins getting fired in Edmonton? And it's like, I'm sorry, was game 7 of the cup final not good enough? What? But listen to this guy. He was a GM for 15 years. Play the cut.
Do you agree with me that the cap's fake? Not fake. I think it can be really, really creative. And we were, look.
But then it doesn't cap spending. And you were creative in Atlanta. And then Atlanta pursues Deshaun Watson, and so they trade Matt Ryan, and they say, oh, we had to trade Matt Ryan because of the cap. And I'm like, you can't go try to sign Deshaun Watson and say, oh, it was the money.
It was. When I look back on that, you know, of course, as a bystander now, I won't even get into it, but it's, yeah. No, I get it. There's an element. We never call it fake, of course. We just say.
That's because the owners want the cap to be real so they can tell the fans.
No question.
We couldn't keep him because of the cap. Did you hear what he just said? When I said that, he goes, of course, no question. He's telling you it's fake without saying it's fake because the owners don't want you to think it's fake. I go, oh my goodness gracious. All right, I'm done talking about that. If anybody ever asks again, just remember that. Coming up next, I am surprised. I got to give credit to the Tennessee Volunteers in an even bigger way than just the championship. Maybe not bigger, but a different way than just the championship. I want to do that next. And it is something, if you're one of these people that thinks I never admit that I'm wrong, I was wrong completely on. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Now we are going to go back to Omaha because Peyton Manning is saying some words. We're going to hear from that VFL now.
Omaha.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I don't know any other word to describe it, right? We've been knocking on the door these past several years, and we've been close, kind of had our heart, you know, ripped out, but you keep fighting, right? You don't say, hey, that was our shot, you know, now, you know, we're never going to get another shot. You just keep fighting, right? And I kind of live that as a player, and I have a real appreciation for Tony and these players for just continuing to fight and saying, hey, we're doing something right. Let's just keep knocking on the door. Let's keep sawing wood. And good things are going to happen, and it sure did happen tonight in Omaha.
That was Peyton Manning the other night, and I do want to give a congratulations to the Tennessee Volunteers, not for winning the championship. We did that yesterday. But the TV ratings are out. The Vols crushed it. According to Sports Media Watch, Monday's winner-take-all Game 3 averaged 3.34 million viewers opposite Game 7 of the Cup Final. It was the second largest audience ever for a men's college World Series game on the ESPN networks, but it was down 7% from last year's 3.59 million. More on that in a second. The Volunteers win delivered the largest baseball or softball audience on television this year, surpassing the 2.91 million for a regional MLB window of Fox that featured the Dodgers and the Yankees in most markets. So let's start with this. Tennessee drew 93% of the highest audience ever for a College World Series game, and it was going up against Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. I'm not somebody that lives in this, well, if this hadn't happened, if the receiver didn't break his hand, if the ref didn't make that call, if they didn't, I don't live in that world. Because it's easy to excuse everything if you do that. But I do think it's fair to say that if there wasn't Game 7 of the Cup Final on Monday night, the Vols would have beaten last year with LSU in Florida. I think it's fair to say. Because as a sports fan, I was conflicted between the baseball game and the hockey, and I primarily went with the hockey. And so I got to believe 7% of the audience, I got to believe, was probably, I don't want to say on my side, but there was at least 7% that would have watched baseball if they didn't have the option to watch hockey. So that's the first thing. Unbelievable viewership, considering it was going up against Game 7 of the Cup Final. That's like the Braves had a 12 million viewer rating for a World Series game going up against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. I'm like, that's incredible. Also, I was wrong on both fronts. I was wrong about the NHL. They got 7.7 million. I thought they'd get 10 in my predictions before the game, and I was wrong about the College World Series. I did not think the Vols, my prediction was the Vols would not get to last year's number, which is technically true, but I thought the Vols would get 2.95 million. I did not think they'd crack 3 million. They cracked 3.34 million. That's an incredible number. That's incredible. And let me say this. The moron that thought it was a good idea at ESPN to play the Stanley Cup Final and the College World Series on the same day should be fired. Because if they hadn't had that, I'm thinking that hockey would have gotten closer to 10 million. They probably wouldn't have gotten 10 million, but they probably would have gotten closer. And the Vols might have gotten into 4 million viewers had they done that. And you can say, well, it's not ESPN, it's the leagues. Well, then they're even stupider. Because the leagues are the ones that really care about the ratings. Because the leagues are the ones that, when these deals come up, go over to the networks and say, hey, we're drawing 10 million viewers. You got to give us the dough. And as we've seen with the NBA, if you can get 10 million viewers, occasionally they'll give you $6 billion or $200 billion or whatever it is. George is up next here on the salary cap. He is an Eagles fan. Thank you for calling, George. You go ahead.
Hey, Jared. I think I can help you out here on this cap thing. I will tell you, not a cap expert. I do think it's real. But I do think it's kind of loosey-goosey compared to where it used to be, and it is harder to get in trouble. But having said that, you keep referencing the Eagles, but think about it. Well, they have a lot of skilled positions. When's the last linebacker you've seen on the Eagles that's been good, right? I could go on and on, year upon year upon year, with a little Tennessee flavor. I can
remember 2002. You don't think Bryce Huff's good?
What's that?
You don't think Bryce Huff's good, the guy they just signed in free agency who had all those sacks for the Jets?
Yeah, but they gave up.
He plays linebacker.
Hassan Reddick.
Right, because Bryce Huff's better.
He's more of a pass rusher, but they gave up Hassan Reddick to get him, right? So that's kind of a trade-off.
Right, because Bryce Huff makes more money.
But, okay, I hear you.
You own the team, right? Nobody has infinity dollars, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you own the team, and you want to win the Super Bowl. And you have told your guys, like, hey, in order for us to make a profit, we can only spend $350 million on the team. And they want to go get Bryce Huff because they think Bryce Huff is a 9 out of 10, and they've got Hassan Reddick, who they think is a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
They can't have both guys, or else they'll go over the $350 million. And Hassan Reddick probably isn't going to like the idea of Bryce Young taking all of his playing time, and then he goes to the coach and says, I want to trade.
But is your 350 a cash number or a cap number?
Because it's a cash number. It's 345. Okay. The cap is 250.
Okay, so I agree with you. Cash doesn't matter, right? But for a cap number...
No, you're wrong. Why not? Cash matters. Cash matters. Nobody has infinity dollars, right, George?
They don't, but Jeff Lurie's going to spend. I agree with you, but he's still going to spend money, right?
So, but he's not going to spend infinity because he doesn't have infinity. That's the point.
Right, but he also has a cap, right? Why not address the center middle linebacker position? Why did I watch Nicholas Morrow last year when he probably could have spent just a couple more million to get a better player? I would argue it's the cap. Why do we dump that safety to the Titans, actually? He stunk. We could have paid
That's
more.
That's why they dumped him. In your opinion, you're like, why do we dump that safety? He sucked. They dumped him because you think he sucks, George. That's why.
No, he does suck.
Again, does suck, the money is not – hold on, hear me out. The money is not infinity, right?
Agreed.
Because nobody has infinity dollars. Agreed. Jeffrey Lurie's going to spend. Do you think Jeffrey Lurie tells Howie Roseman, you can spend $500 million?
Probably not. It sounds like a big number.
Okay, so he's probably telling him, hey, man, here's the budget for this year. So when Howie Roseman's looking at it and he's saying, we want A.J. Brown, we want Devontae Smith, we want the two tackles, we want the tight end, we want Saquon Barkley, we want Jalen Hurts, we want all these guys. He's probably saying, okay, the budget's 360, we're at 345. Well, how can we clear up some money so that we can go get some more guys? Well, let's get rid of the safety we don't like very much. Doesn't that make a lot of sense?
Yeah.
So the money is what matters, because you're now saving $14 million by moving off of that guy. Thank you, George. You're now saving $14 million by moving off of that guy. $14 million cash. When you say, well, he's got to have a cap. No, he has a cash budget, just like every other business in America, period, because nobody has infinity dollars. Joe is up next. Ian, do we know if Caroline's going to be with us for this?
I do not know that for sure.
So we'll see one way or another?
Yeah.
Jared versus Joe is next. If not, Ian has the questions. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.